a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
With Senate Health and Human Services, good morning to our listening audience. My apologies, meetings are running a little long, so we're starting a little late. Just a reminder, want to welcome all of you here. If you have cell phones, please silence them. We have a page. You want to please come up to the microphone, press the green button, tell us who you are and where you're from.
My name is Dylan Kirkmeyer, and I'm from Webster.
Webster. Thank you. That's a area that's a hot topic right now. Water and Webster, I think, go together. Good. Just a reminder, if you're going to testify today, to please sign in. With that, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Bradford, Holeen,
aye.
Jensen,
here.
Krebs,
here.
Rampelberg, Soholt,
here.
Hunoff,
here.
Madam Chair, there are five present.
Thank you. We do have a quorum present. With that, I would entertain a motion for approval of minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Senator Krebs, second by Senator Holeen. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. With that, just a little reorder of our schedule today. What we're going to do, first of all, we are going to defer the hearing on House Bill 1126 to November 22nd, which is a week from today. Is there? Or, I'm sorry, February. I want to be in November. Look at that. All right, February.
We missed summer.
Right, we did. We don't want that. So thank you. I'm glad I have a so astute co-chair to get me on my line. Is there anybody here that was planning to testify on House Bill 1126? 1126. All right, so that's deferred till next Friday when we'll have the hearing on that. Then we're going to take next in order House Bill 1208. And that is to prohibit the unlawful release of medical waste and to provide a penalty therefore. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, committee members. It's our pleasure to come before you today and bring House Bill 1208. This is an act that is to prohibit the unlawful release of medical waste and to provide a penalty thereof. I have with me today Representative Mickelson that has ushered this bill through the avenues to date. And so at this time, I'd like to introduce him and bring him to the speaker so that he can go through the bill in more detail. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents for House Bill 1208. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mark Mickelson. I'm a member of the South Dakota House of Representatives in District 13 in Sioux Falls. And I can provide an overview of the situation and what 1208 intends to do. And then there is someone representing a recycling firm that is the genesis of this bill, who's available to testify by phone and maybe give you some of the experience firsthand. Currently in South Dakota, as I understand it, medical waste from a state law perspective, the disposal of medical waste is regulated if the waste is disposed of in a landfill or a solid waste facility by DENR. We did find a set of statutes on the books that dealt with infectious waste. Infectious waste is scalpels, knives, human tissue, etc., that you know has a bad germ on it, HIV. We have attempted to define medical waste in House Bill 1208 as the same kinds of things that constitute infectious waste, but just saying, you don't know whether or not it's got the bad germs on it. Because this recycling facility was not able, you know, through calling primarily, I think, DENR, they were not able to get any regulatory assistance. So what this bill does is says, if you put medical waste in a stream that leads to a recycling facility, which in this case is hand-sorted, one-stream recycling, you are guilty of a Class 2 misdemeanor, a speeding ticket. Now, I've used the term, this is a little bit of a self-enforcement mechanism. They've had some experience where they have had a known violator and called and asked them to stop. And among the responses in this one particular case was, it's not against the law. I suspect it, there's probably a federal law that's being violated, but their ability to stop the behavior, this is intended to give them the ability to stop that behavior and say, hey, now it is, it's a class 2 misdemeanor. So either knock it off or we'll, you know, send someone out there to give you a ticket. So at that point, I can conclude my testimony. And we do have a gentleman, Sean, from Millennium Recycling, who'd be available to testify by phone.
Thank you. Do you want to get the gentleman on the phone? Good morning, sir. Are you on the phone?
I am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, this is Senator Hunoff. What I'd ask you to do is please identify yourself for our listening audience and then provide your proponent testimony and welcome.
You bet. My name is Sean Fallmeyer. I'm the Public Relations Director for Millennium Recycling. And we are a facility that recyclables come to for processing and then sale. What's been happening over the past about 14 years since Millennium's been in existence is we get needles and lancets and other medical waste that potentially injures our employees. We have had people stuck by needles in the past, and it's very terrifying and potentially deadly for them. And we've come to the end of what we think we can do to try to protect our employees. We don't directly pull materials from customers. The haulers that pick up the trash bring it to us. So a lot of times when we try to do like a fee or something like this, the haulers will absorb it and not even talk to the generators of in fears that they're going to lose their company, their business. This bill would at least give us something that we can say, like, hey, this is against the law, please stop, because right now there's nothing to stop anybody from doing this.
Thank you. Because you're on the phone, do any members of the committee have a question for Mr. Fallmeyer? I do. What the question is this, you're talking about, and again, there was an example of a business that this came from. What about residential owners, homeowners that put their garbage out for recyclable, and I'll say I'm a diabetic and I'm throwing my syringes in there, and it goes to your facility?
We don't see a lot of that. A lot of programs that, like the pharmacy programs, have needle disposal. Education and programs. Most of the medical waste that we get is very obviously from a medical facility. Those little generators, as far as I know, aren't regulated by any laws that I could find, but they're not usually a problem. Usually we can trace it back to a specific clinic or hospital due to labeling. Or we talk to Pauler themselves and say, hey, what medical facility was on this truck's route, and we can figure it out.
Thank you. Other questions? Seeing none, well, I thank you, Mr. Fallmeyer, for taking the time and to provide your testimony.
Thank you so much for caring about this.
Thank you.
Bye.
Are there other proponents to House Bill 1208? Other proponents?
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Thiessen. I speak to you this morning on behalf of Waste Management. I speak as a proponent of the bill. I have an amendment that I have reviewed with the prime sponsor. I believe it's a friendly amendment. I think he believes that too, but he can speak for himself, and you can surely inquire of him. May I speak to the amendment, ma'am? Waste Management in South Dakota is a hauler, but in...
Do you have your mic on?
Yes, ma'am.
No.
I'll get a little closer. Is that better? Waste Management in South Dakota is a waste hauler. In many, many other states, however, we are the recycler, much like the gentleman who just spoke to you. So we are very familiar with what the problems can be for the folks who sort that item when it comes to the recycling facility. Our concern here without an amendment is that the bill could render one criminally liable without their having knowledge that there was something in the container that we brought to the recycling facility. So the amendment that I have provided simply says that no hauler or transporter would be found liable of a criminal offense here unless that hauler or transporter had actual knowledge that the waste had been placed in that dumpster. You know, if I were to ask you to pick up my waste for a fee, you might be willing to do that. If I told you that you would be criminally liable for what I might put in that container that you wouldn't know about, you might be far less interested in picking it up. So that's the purpose of the amendment. I don't think that it does harm to the bill at all. I don't think it's the haulers that have been the problem in Sioux Falls, as the gentleman was just explaining. So I do think it's a friendly amendment. If you believe the amendment is a bad amendment and don't feel you can put it on, I still support the bill because I believe that this is an issue that's apparently occurring there. I prefer it with the amendment because I do think it has some danger factor for my folks without it. But I don't want to do harm to Representative Mickelson's bill either. So with that, Madam Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1208? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tom Martinez. I'm the Deputy Secretary of the South Dakota Department of Health. And I will be short and sweet. The department supports House Bill 1208, and I will stand by for questions if the committee has any. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents for House Bill 1208? Other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, Representative Mickelson, do you want to respond to the amendment? Do you consider this a friendly amendment just for purposes, and then we can...
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, we do. We're fine with the amendment.
Okay. Thank you. So I would someone move the amendment?
Madam Chair.
Senator Jensen.
Hey, Madam Chair. I move that we move the amendment.
Is there a second?
J.D.
Second.
Okay. All right. Now, discussion on the amendment. Anything? Nope. Okay. All those in favor of the amendment signify of 1208JB signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. So now we have House Bill 1208 as amended. Questions? Are there any questions? Senator Bradford.
I apologize. I had a bill up in the other room, so I didn't hear the first part of the testimony. But I happen to personally know young man who does pick up medical waste. And I'm asking the question, I thought, and he picks this up at all hospitals in Pine Ridge, Martin. I thought he was talking about a federal law that he operated under. Is there such a thing?
Is there anyone that can answer that question? I don't know. Mr. Martinez, do you have anything from a perspective of licensure?
Madam Chair, again, Tom Martinez, Department of Health. I guess I can't speak to any federal laws or regulations that would address this situation. I can tell you we do the department does have regulatory authority over licensed healthcare facilities in the state, and we have regulations regarding how they dispose of their solid waste, including medical waste. But certainly medical waste could be generated by a facility that is not licensed by the department. And, you know, an example would be just the run-of-the-mill typical medical clinic.
Well, I know he also operates legally under state law, but maybe the federal part was to be able to take care of IHS facilities too.
Madam Chair, yeah, you're probably right. And as I understand it in speaking with some individuals over at the DENR, this situation is unique to actually the city of Sioux Falls because of their unique recycling facility.
I have a couple questions for the sponsor, please. When we're talking about the penalty, you say a person is guilty. If you have an unregulated operation that is putting out these materials, and I'll just say AKA a clinic because it's not licensed in the state of South Dakota, who then gets the penalty?
There are potentially multiple people. Thus the amendment that was offered by Mr. Teason. Okay. A person that engages in conduct that causes the release of medical waste to a recycling disposal destination. Okay. That's primarily the generator. Okay. The person that put it in the recycling disposal facility. Okay. The person that engaged in the conduct. Now, you could say that a hauler had a role in that because they picked it up and they took it to the facility. Okay? So what the amendment does, Mr. Teason's amendment does on behalf of the haulers, is says the only reason you can say a hauler is responsible for their conduct in causing that medical waste to get to the recycling facility if they actually knew that there was medical waste in the pickup and took it to the recycling facility anyway.
Senator Solholt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a follow-up question. So if there is an unlicensed medical clinic, and it's getting to the question of, like, who would get this misdemeanor, and let's say a nurse that's operating within that, because that would be the person putting it into that waste, would that person be responsible if they're within a structure that is saying this is what we need to be doing with the tissue and, you know, blood and other? I mean, that is not really their decision. So when you said it would be the person that would do it, the person actually doing it would probably be an assistive person or a nurse.
Senator Solholt.
Yes, could you clarify?
Great question. The statute does not differentiate between the corporation and the person. In that case, in my view, you'd have prosecutorial discretion. The police officer that shows up to write the ticket, okay, would say, was the nurse negligent? Is she really the person that I want to hold responsible? Or was it the facility? But who put the medical waste in the recycling stream? In my mind, our thought and intent is the facility, okay? But whether or not the statute differentiates, I can't tell you.
I'm not sure that discretion, but I that's in discussion, so I won't go there. But I'll ask this. I live at my house, and in Yankton, we are looking at going to, you put your all garbage and somebody else is going to go through it. And I go back to the diabetic. So if I did something like that and it ended up and then they're going through it, then first of all, how are they going to know it's me? But I mean, I could be vulnerable. I could be someone that could get the misdemeanor because I threw my syringe.
The intent of the bill is to go after commercial generators. Okay. Medical waste, if the medical waste is ending up in the recycling facility, we got an issue. People are hand sorting it and they're getting stuck by needles. Okay, so the committee, can make a value decision about, well, should the diabetic do that or not? Are they really going to get a ticket? Is that really the problem that we're trying to go after? Our options were, when we have this problem is there an agency in state government that wants to take on the responsibility for overseeing, implementing, and designing a regulatory regime? Or do we want to pass a statute that is a speeding ticket that says, if you do it, knock it off, don't do it anymore? That's really what this bill does.
Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I hear you saying that the intent is for unlicensed medical facilities, because the licensed medical facilities are properly disposing of their waste. And you're saying that there are entities of a business, and the testimony from Millennium Recycling was not that this is of a nature at the individual level, but at the business level. How is it that the intent of what you're proposing does not go after that, and it opens it up for any individual? I mean, when it doesn't differentiate corporation to individual, and you could have a person within that business operating within the procedures of the business, but yet being held liable with this proposed bill. My question is, how does the bill not reflect the group you were trying to go after?
Senator Soholt, I think the bill catches the folks that were causing the problem. The concern that you're expressing is maybe we're catching folks that really weren't intended to be caught. And if that's the case, and the committee would like, we could defer the bill, draft an amendment that would carve out household waste and make the corporation responsible and not the person at the facility. If that would make you more comfortable, we'd have no issue with that.
Well, any other questions here? Any other questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Jensen.
For the sponsor. What if a business has certain rules and the employee doesn't follow the rules correctly and disposes of this waste matter improperly? Where's the liability?
You know, Senator Jensen, Madam Chair, you're now asking me to be a lawyer and interpret the statute, okay? And that you could, and Mr. Teason could probably address this. Did the corporation adequately supervise the employee? Was the employee a renegade employee? Did they have proper procedures established to do this? Okay. The point is, if the medical waste is ending up in the recycling stream and people are hand sorting the needles and the scalpels, we got a problem. Okay. And this, in my opinion, I think this bill is a pretty simple bill intended to give some remedy available to the folks that are actually dealing with the problem. Okay. The fact pattern that you described in practice probably never happens, because once the facility violates, the first call isn't to the police department or the state's attorney. It's to the facility and say, hey, did you know you did this? Would you please stop? What's happening now is a facility will either ignore because they don't care and it's not important to them. They'll change haulers. And so what you've got is a problem out there where the medical waste is ending up in the recycling stream, and we need to figure out how it stops, because there's folks out there that are, you know, being put at risk. This bill says this is a Class 2 misdemeanor, okay, $500 fine, up to a $500 fine. A speeding ticket is a Class 2 misdemeanor. So
any other questions? You know, the intent here is good. I'm not denying. But I don't think this is ready now. I can say we'll defer this bill if you want to work on an amendment. But I think it's very unclear, again, back to who's going to be the liable party here, if it's this clinic or if it's me who's being directed to do that by the owner of that clinic, and that's the practice.
this doesn't differentiate from that, and it doesn't say. And when you start leaving it in discretion of whoever is going to be called to be the arresting person, you know, who is it that is? Are you really getting what you're trying to do by the language in this? So I said, I would be willing to defer this bill if you want to work on an amendment to address who's going to get the misdemeanor. If not, you know, I'm not sure where it'll go.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'd be happy to defer the bill, draft an amendment, attempt to address your concerns. We appreciate the feedback. We'll limit the impact to address the concerns that have been expressed here. They're not adverse. And if we can, we'll bring it back when you're, you know, in time for crossover day and hopefully get it done.
Well, this is a House bill, so that's not an issue. So we don't have to worry about that.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Would it be appropriate if I offered a suggestion as well? I agree wholeheartedly with your suggestion, but Senator Bradford and I were talking down here amongst ourselves. In 34A, there's 112 different statutes. There's infectious waste, there's medical waste, there's solid waste, and it seems to me that what you're talking about, what you're trying to get at, could be covered under any one of those three. So I guess I'd like to see what specific aspect of 34A-6 it would be put under, if it's not already covered, because I could see, you know, if it's medical waste, I understand that that's how it starts off, but the concern of the bill is infectious waste then, and also is it covered under solid waste? So I would just, 34A-6 is a very large chapter, and Senator Bradford and I were just making sure that it's not already covered, and if it's not already covered, which it looks like there might be a little bit of an exemption, then just we want to make sure that it's put under the right aspect. So,
Madam Chair, can I address that?
Yes. No. I'm going to take hold. Senator Krebs has a...
It's more of a comment. I mean,
clarification. Go ahead. Go ahead, Representative Mickelson.
Senator Holeen. I have not read the entire 34A-6, but we read a fair amount of it, okay? And here's what I'll tell you I think it says. Infectious waste 34A-6-93 was designed by the state and implemented to address a specific problem that was happening with people dumping stuff at a West River location that I don't recall. My interpretation that definition of infectious waste is the same stuff as medical waste, which we have defined in this statute, but it has to be pathogenic. Now, we got some medical experts on the panel. My understanding of what pathogenic means is, you know, it's got the bad stuff on it. Okay? Now, the clinics that are regulated, Senator Bradford's question before, my understanding, there is OSHA. OSHA regulates the proper disposal of medical waste, okay? I think. It maybe it's only by a licensed facility. I don't know, okay? But most medical facilities that are licensed, they do something called a red bag. They red bag it, and they treat all medical waste as though it's infectious, okay? What you've got is a real problem where there are violators happening that aren't following a federal law. There is no one there that's able to stop it. Okay, we'll go back and amend this so we don't do more than we intended. This wasn't intended to make a mountain out of a molehill. This is intended to say, hey, we got a problem. Let's come up with a simple solution. It's a traffic ticket. It's a pick up the phone and say, knock it off.
Thank you. But as you can see, it's not a simple problem. There's some other extenuating circumstances. So, Senator Krebs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I understand the conversation, and I think it's important that we have it because we're focusing on medical waste and the definition of pathogenic organisms such. But I think the real language you're trying to accomplish here is in line 12. This is the heart of what Representative Mickelson is trying to solve here with this constituent, which causes the release to recycling disposal destination of medical waste. That is the issue at hand. I know we have everything else in Title 34 defining medical waste disposal and such, but I don't think what we're missing in that title is the clarification of going to the recycling disposal destination. That's the new language that we're looking at, and I think that's the heart of the bill, and that's what he's trying to accomplish in lines 12 and 13. So my comment would be to focus that, because Title 34 is covering everything else that you on the everybody else in the committee has concerns with. We're proposing the clarification on the destination site and result.
Madam Chair, thank you, Senator Krebs. Further, you know, solid waste management, that whole title, okay, you know, you can come to your own conclusion. My read on what that does is it regulates solid waste facilities, regulated solid waste facilities, the landfill in Watertown, the landfill in Huron, the landfill in Sioux Falls, the landfill in Yankton. So it says if medical waste comes to a solid waste facility that's regulated by DENR, that facility will dispose of that waste properly because it's a regulated site. You've got a recycling facility that is not under the regulatory regime of DENR. And DENR was not interested in taking over regulatory responsibility for what's happening here.
All right. But I'll go back to the point. Who's going to be the one to get the misdemeanor? If you're trying to get it and we're dealing with the liability, then you're saying the corporation, are they the one that gets the Class 2, or is it the person that actually handles it to do it?
Madam Chair,
yes.
As currently drafted, anyone that negligently causes the medical waste to reach a recycling facility. So they had to have acted with negligence.
Well, I'll give you the option if you want to work on any language. If not, we'll take action on this today.
No, let's defer it and amend it.
All right.
Madam Chair.
Senator Jensen.
Question for the sponsor. Representative Mickelson, while you're doing reconstructive surgery on this bill, would you consider amending the title on line one, unlawful, removing it?
I don't think I'd have an issue with it.
Thank you.
All right. You have your task at hand. We will defer this, and we will hear this then on the 22nd also. We'll defer it till then.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, committee, for that good discussion. With that, I'm going to hand the gavel over to the co-chair for the next bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We will now take up Senate Bill 135.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I have a hog house here, and I have visited with Senator Rabe. You saw on the original bill was, I believe, I don't have the bill in front of me, Affect Medical. What this is a hog, and what I'm trying to do is to establish a legislative summer study committee to evaluate the implementation of the long-term care recommendations from the 2007 evaluation of long-term care options for South Dakota, to reassess these recommendations and to explore additional options for sustaining available long-term care systems to meet the needs of an aging population in South Dakota. This is a work in progress. In 2007, there was a consultant that was hired by the Department of Social Services and did a comprehensive study on what the long-term care needs are of South Dakota. There were recommendations that came from that study. In fact, last year, one of the recommendations that we did get through was the ability with existing licenses. We have a moratorium, but there are some communities where they needed additional beds, and I believe Rapid City was the example, so that they could make a request, and there were some criteria to go with that. We've also looked at some other recommendations in that study. There are still some that are sitting out there. One has to do with capital funding for facilities, what's happening there. Last year, we also, I believe, through appropriations, we gave some additional dollars to community-based and long-term care that went directly to the care providers. That was part of trying to sustain. What I'm trying to do with this, and as I said, it's work in progress, if we can get it out of the committee, is to look at what's left and then the discussion that goes on, strategic planning for long-term care, the legislature's role in that, and how we can plan for that. And that would be what I'm looking for intent in this bill. So that's my reason. It's just to start the process out, get the discussion out there, and there would be more work to establish that summer study, who would be part of that. But it's, again, have we done everything we needed to? Does it need to be updated? And I'm not looking to hire another consultant, but again, to have the legislature involved with that and what we can do to position ourselves to be able to address the long-term keys for the aging population. Thank you, and if you have questions, I'll try and answer.
Further proponent testimony on SB 135, and we would, you know, because there's not language there, take up the any testimony on the proposed amendment. Good morning and welcome. Is your mic on?
Yes, it is.
Maybe just move a little closer. Thank you.
Even though this is
Sorry about that. A number of pieces of the original study, and talked to Senator Hanoff a number of times on these issues, an ongoing process, and the study is aging out, and our demographics are shifting, and it maybe is time to revisit the entire topic and see if what we've changed is affecting and what else needs to be changed. So with that editorial input, I would support the change.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further proponent testimony. Is there any opponent testimony? We'll get to questions.
This is kind of proponent too. I mean, it's for doing it.
When we get a motion, you can share that. Is that all right, Senator Bradford? Okay. Okay, so we will close public testimony on this proposed amendment, Hog House. So we're now at a time to questions from the committee members. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I'm curious a little bit about this, and maybe this is for Senator Hunhoff. Correct me, Senator, but I thought that our e-board decides the summer studies. Should this be a recommendation, or is this a mandate to our e-board?
This would be to establish. It would be a recommendation to them, but if we pass it to support it, then they would hopefully pick it up and do it.
Okay. So second question then is this something that, because there's going to be some costs involved, that we should make a referral to appropriations, or?
If it goes to the e-board, there are money dollars there. If we're directing them to include this as a summer study in one of their selections, there's dollars there to do this already. I mean, that's planned when they do any of the summer studies. And as I said, I'm not looking at bringing a consultant in or anything like that. It's more for visioning for the legislature as to where we should be.
Further comment? Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I just wanted to comment that I appreciate you bringing this forward. I've felt for some time now that, we need to plan for the long term. And this is, I think, a step in the right direction, a continuation with what's already been done. I'll sure support it. Thank you.
Further committee questions? All right, before us we have a proposed amendment 135JA, and would entertain some action.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Jensen and seconded by Senator Rampelberg. Of due pass of 135JA. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? All right. Thank you very much for that resounding affirmation of the amendment 135JA. And now I believe there is some committee comments. Senator Bradford?
No.
Further comment?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just, first of all, want to commend those in the room because I know a lot of hours were spent on that 2007 task force, a long-term study and review. Of course, Senator Hunhoff, Senator Bradford was on there, of course, former Representative Rebecca Craddock, who spoke in favor of this. And so I commend, first of all, their hard work. And I know, Senator Bradford, you're, again, part of that, and you want to make some comments on that, and that's moving this forward would be just another opportunity to review that. And, you know, when you think about it, we think of all these studies that a lot of us that have served here, you know, we've talked about the education review, and it doesn't seem like, it seems like it was just a few years ago when we did this, and it ends up now being 6 years ago, and as statistics have changed, it's a time, it's good time to review. And I do support this, and I hope, again, that they ask industry and organizations and certain hospital systems to get involved with this again. So I encourage the due pass of the amended version of 135.
Further discussion on amended Senate Bill 135? Seeing none, would entertain committee action.
Madam Chair?
Senator Krebs?
Move due pass. Move due pass on House, or excuse me, Senate Bill 135 as amended.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you very much. It's been moved by Senator Krebs and seconded by Senator Rampelberg. Do pass on Senate Bill 135 as amended. Further discussion? Seeing none, we will call the roll. All in favor say aye. All opposed, nay.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Jansen?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Madam Chair, Vice Chair, there are seven yeas.
Senate Bill 135 is amended, has passed. Now we also have before us 135 JTA.
So move.
Thank you. Which is a title amendment.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Krebs, seconded by Senator Hunhoff to accept the title amendment 135 JTA. Discussion on that? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Thank you very much. The title amendment 135 JTA is affirmed.
Thank you. Now, we don't have any bills scheduled till next Friday, but we are going to meet with the House in a joint committee next Wednesday during our meeting time, and it is that point in time that we will take public input on the expansion of Medicaid. There is no action that will come out. We're just going to take public input. It will be equal time. We'll use the 2 hours. We'll also allow for some questions by the committee members. But I want to reemphasize, no bill, no action. It's just to provide opportunity to provide input, and the House will be joining us, and we'll be here in this room since that's our regularly scheduled meeting time. So that will be the agenda for next Wednesday. Thank you. With that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Senator Holeen, second by Senator Soholt. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you so very much, and you got an extra hour. So that's our agenda for Wednesday. Okay.